Comedy. Tonight, the people of Newport are being treated to a bespoke stand-up show. But first, let's look ahead to new drama this weekend on Radio 4.
One of Europe's most extraordinary women.
There's always some adventure, isn't there? However unlikely, when that always shows you in the best light, the heroic queen.
A formidable political operator, wife and mother to kings, and prisoner.
You are my valued guests.
Your valuable guests.
The early life of Eleanor of Aquitaine, fighting for survival on and off the battlefield.
You're my wife. You are bound to obey me.
You don't want me. You want the Aquitaine.
The new series of Eleanor Rising on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
I want the world to be a different place, Petra. I'm just not sure yet how to make it happen.
Starts on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Now on Radio 4, in a change to some listings, Mark Steele's in town.
Hello.
All right, bruv.
All right.
The best thing about Newport...
There's a question.
I've lived here all my life. Oh, love.
It's got a lot to offer. We've got murals. We've got art.
We've got the transporter bridge.
The history of Chartism.
Castle.
The Roman...
The amphitheatre.
There's a local tramp as well that used to walk around with Dealey Boppers.
Yes!
A Newport band.
Goldie-looking chain.
Goldie-looking chain.
The worst thing is we haven't got a Morrison's.
Anthony Hopkins kissed my mum.
Oh.
That's minging, that is.
No one needs that.
We love being a rough city.
We still enjoy coming out.
Yes. It's Newport. I love it.
Mark Steele's in town.
Thank you. Thank you so very, very much, lovely Newport. Welcome to Mark Steele's in town, which this week comes from the true capital of Wales, Newport. It's also the true intellectual capital of Wales, rather like Oxford is in England, because it's where you hear great minds making statements like, "What's happening, Clant? I see you up the park on the draw, you knows it." Because the beauty of Newport is this was once an industrial town full of the noise and grime and squalor of docks and factories, and now the docks and factories have gone, but somehow the noise and grime and squalor is still here, and that's an amazing achievement. This is a city ahead of the times. Lots of shopping centres in Britain are full of closed down shops because of online shopping, but your shopping centre looked like that years ago, long before the internet. And it's even going up market here, because now instead of abandoned Pizza Huts, you've got an abandoned Debenhams. You're on the up. This is the true capital, Newport, because Cardiff may have its fancy castle with its turrets and its cannons and other posh castle things like walls, but you've got a castle that's a vague lump of stone full of holes on a roundabout behind a metal fence, and the fence would offer more resistance to invaders than a castle. That's a proper castle. Now, tonight we are in the salubrious Riverfront Theatre, where millions of pounds have been spent redeveloping the riverfront so that now, on a sunny afternoon, you can relax with a coffee and look at endless banks of slimy mud. Someone was telling me how much they love Newport, and they love the community and the history and the music and all the things that we're going to come on to. And then they said, really proudly, "I was once in the precinct there and a voice came over the tannoy. It was a security guard telling the kids he could see them stealing his bike." Now, this I can believe, because I went for a walk around all of the town, taken by the marvellous Sam, who runs the wonderful pub, Le Pub, which is a great music venue. And Sam loves Newport, and she kept saying what a wonderful city it is. And as we came back, there was a man with what I suppose were his wife and child of about 3 years old, and he was screaming, really going for it, and he went, "I'm going to punch a pigeon in the face. You're going to watch me." It was endearing. It was like a child going, "Watch me do a star jump." Except he was 40 and he wanted everyone to watch him punch a pigeon. When Sam was showing me round, this is true, I'm not embarrassing her, she did this brilliant off-the-cuff speech about her love for Newport, and it went something like this. "I love it here, I do. It's the greatest town with the greatest people you'll ever meet. You see that girl in the red skirt? She's been banned from the city centre." But there's much more to Newport than that sort of thing. A nurse at the Royal Gwent Hospital on the Cardiff Road told me that a man came in one Friday night as he'd been in a fight. So he was x-rayed and he was told, "You've broken your wrist, so we are going to have to keep you here for treatment." So he said, "If it's broken, I'm leaving." And the doctor said, "No, no, no, if it's broken, then you'll have to stay." And the bloke said, "No, if it's broken, it means I have to go and get revenge." Newport, you're not put off by trivia like broken bones. And now there's a posh new market here. You like the market? Yeah. Controversial? I don't know, because I get the impression there are lots of people going, "I preferred it when it was horrible." There's a lot of nice things here now. What are we, Chepstow? But there's another reason why Newport is heading in that direction. An article on Bristol Live says Newport is the fastest growing property market in the country. And this success is down to Bristolians. They're buying up houses in Newport now that the tolls on the Severn Bridge have been scrapped. Anyone here from Bristol for that reason?
Yeah.
One. Oh, Bristol person, have you been looking in property magazines? Going, "Oh, it says here they've got a lovely castle. They've got breathtaking views of the river from the waterfront." But you need to be careful, Newport. Let me warn you, when people from Bristol are taking a financial interest in you, that's not necessarily good historically, is it? Next thing, they'll be putting you on a boat and transporting you to Virginia. Then they'll build a statue of the bloke who did it, and in 200 years, you'll get in trouble for taking it down and chucking it in the mud. So you've got to accept you're going up market, because you've always been at the centre of fine cuisine here in Newport. Because what is your favourite dish?
Chips and cheese.
Chicken. Chips and cheese and chicken. That's the Bristol person. Just as there are various regions of France where they prepare their steak served with local mushrooms and a local wine, here you insist on cheese with chips as the local delicacy. In the new market, they'll sell Stilton and chips. So I went to sample the delights of cheese and chips today, and I was laughed at because I was told, "You can't have cheese and chips in the day, you idiot. It's only for after the pub shut when you're drunk on the way home, you nose it." But this isn't the only dish that you're known for here. I saw this article in The Guardian. A seagull in Newport turned bright orange after it fell into a vat of chicken tikka masala. The bird fell into the container while trying to scavenge meat from a food factory bin on Monday. Lucy Kells, veterinary nurse, said, "We've never seen anything like it, but he smelt amazing." And there's a certain beauty here. So it's a town to a number of poets. Do you know the poet Paul Henry? Poet? You're pushing it. Come into the theatre. He wrote this wonderful imagery about the town in a poem called Between Two Bridges. This is real, right? "Wind scales the river in its mud, and here someone's ditched a fridge." Also, there's the poet W.H. Davis, who's known as Supertramp, and he came from Pilgwenly, that everyone calls Pill. And then he went to America, and he lived as a hobo, and came back here, and he wrote poems such as, "What is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare." And there's an interesting statue in the town centre that celebrates these lines beautifully, with a figure that has no face. And it's absolutely terrifying. So if you do stand and stare at it, you wake up screaming for the next 10 minutes. One of these books, I can't remember which one it is, right? Honestly, starts, "Newport can be justly proud of its flora and fauna." Yes? This is the sort of thing that could only be in Newport from Wales Online. "It was high time gardeners did some weeding when cannabis was found in the council flower pot." "About 20 plants could be seen sprouting from among flowers in six separate boxes in Newport city centre, half a mile from the city's main police station." Did you all know about the weed growing in the...
Yeah.
You all did everyone except the cops. A councillor was asked how they got there, and he said, it's either kids or the Newport underworld. I'm fairly sure it's not Alan Titchmarsh. And presumably this made the city more chilled out, and for a while you were all just going, oh, look at the sheep's in the mud. And this is a city of engineering. There are bridges everywhere, proper chunky bridges. And best of all, the Transporter Bridge. And this thing is huge, about 180 feet high, and it's got these little metal steps that are like the ones you get on a fire escape that's been condemned by the council. I walked up it yesterday, went across, and it's magnificent. Have people been across it?
Yeah.
When you see it up close, you realise it's half bridge and half ferry, and there's a platform called a gondola that dangles on these pulleys that hang from the top, and cars go onto that, and the gondola swings across the river, which is a massive feat of engineering, a vast structure that plays a vital role because it can transport as many as 6 cars an hour. Also a footbridge, so you walk up 227 steps and then you creep precariously across the top on a floor that's wire mesh, so you can see straight through and the wind swirling in all directions. You're thinking, surely it's safer to swim through the mud. It is spectacular. So I'm now very happy to speak to Gavin. Is Gavin there?
Hiya.
So you took us up there yesterday. Gavin, first of all, what is your role with the bridge?
So I'm a community engagement officer, but I like showing celebrities around the bridge.
Oh, I hope you get one soon.
Do you know what? I was going to say the same thing.
You were telling us about someone who didn't make it up there. Who is it who'd too much for him?
It was a celebrity, and it was Timmy Mallett.
Timmy Mallett, and I've always been such a fan. I also meant Martin. Is Martin here?
He is, yeah.
Martin controls the swinging gondola, and he is without doubt the most enthusiastic transport bridge operator I have ever met. You just say, hello, Martin, and he's off in a little room there with all this going, all right, I tell you what, it's fantastic. This bit, I just love it. I do. There's only 8 around the world, and I've been to all of them, except one in Argentina. I'm going to go there when I retire, and it's got all this cable, and it's got a bloody marker, and he's swinging, it's got a sag in the middle, and it's bloody fantastic it is. And I've been to the one in Rouen in France, and I thought, oh, I'd bloody spot a problem there, because up at the top of the column, it's not quite bloody perpendicular to the right thing. It's bloody... I said to them afterwards, I said, you're bloody lucky, that bloody old thing don't bloody collapse. And they just went, well, that's a bloody French for you. I tell you that, but I think you don't want to be building one of those things when you've been drinking wine since half past 5 in the morning, but that's what they're like, isn't it? So, Martin, you clearly love these bridges, and that's true, isn't it, that you've travelled around the world looking at them?
Yeah, that's right.
And which is the best one of all of them?
Ours.
What, is it mechanically the best, or is it just because it's Newport?
It's the tallest, the longest, and it's the fastest. It's known as a Ferrari of transport bridges.
The Ferrari. You'll get Clarkson in there. This gondola goes 0-9 in only 4 minutes. One thing I've got to ask you, Martin, you told us this story that is so brilliant about something that you managed to put up on the top, which many people don't seem to know is there.
Toilet.
How did you get it up there, though?
It's a long story. We could be here all night. I haven't got time really to... But anyway, I got it up, and it's got a hole in the middle of the toilet, and so when you do number one or number two, it goes through a hole, and it lands in Cardiff or Chepstow. It's caught in which way. It's caught in which way the wind blowing.
Oh, thanks so much. It was such a great host as well, taking us across there. The Transporter Bridge is in the area of Newport, known as Gwenley, or known as Peel. So I expect people come to Peel thinking, oh, that's where the famous bridge is. Peel must be the posh part. But it is well located for some local amenities. For example, there's a police station there. that closed down and became a sadomasochist club. With a £25 entrance for the night. Did you all go to that? The place looks like it was brutal. The people were beaten, walloped, kicked against a wall, and then it was closed down as a police station and became an S&M club. Boom, boom. Right. There are some high-class restaurants that I would recommend in Peel, such as the marvellous Fanny's Cafe, which has a marvellous sign outside all day that says Fanny's open. And, and so, have we got Joe here with us?
Yes,
from
thank you.
Fanny's Cafe. Everybody knows Fanny's.
I'm quite shocked, actually.
Oh, no, don't be. No, everybody. Everybody. Ooh. People take photos of the cafe and...
And ask for my autograph.
And ask for your autograph, yeah.
That was Timmy Mallett, by the way.
You've actually got a thing of his framed in there, haven't you?
I am. Yeah. He was my hero. Believe it or not, my daughter and I have just gone into business and we've got a burger van. Yeah.
All right.
And we're opening a chain. Fanny's going to be everywhere.
They're going to be everywhere. Joe, you might like this. This is a review from TripAdvisor for Fanny's. I travelled to Newport to collect my impounded car. And I stumbled across Fanny's Cafe. Wonderful, warm service. I'll have to get my car impounded more often. Peel has also produced some brilliant boxers, and one of them has a statue on the riverfront, Dave Bomber Pierce, who was known as Newport's Rocky because part of his training was to run up to the top of the Transporter Bridge. And if there's a film about him, a big moment will be when it goes, da-da-da, da-da-da. I got further than Timmy Mallett. Bam, 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 bam. There's a BBC documentary about Dave Pierce that starts with someone who is from Peel who says, take the Bronx and go down quite a way from there and you get to Peel. But Dave was one of six brothers who were professional boxers training with tea towels as they couldn't afford gloves. And Dave became the British heavyweight champion in 1983 and was adored across the city. Everybody know Dave?
Yes.
But Dave died of a brain issue at the age of 41. Now, there's this documentary I saw, I think it was brilliant, about Dave. And it was how about over the last few years, the most Newport thing has happened because his nephew Luke campaigned for a statue to be put up in the centre of town. So Dave's family and friends had to raise money for the statue and get permission for it to be made and built. And they were relying on donations and everyone in the area giving what they could. But then they had a massive boost. And in the documentary, someone says, we couldn't believe it. We were out of dinner to raise money, and then someone from the committee announced they'd got backing from a very special donor. And it was Charles Bronson, Britain's most notorious criminal. And there was Charles, and this was his speech made from his cell. It's Charlie here, Charles Bronson. About that Dave Bomber Pierce. Well, I'm a big fan, and we want that statue. Nah. And Charles Bronson donated artwork that was auctioned for several thousand pounds. And I love how in the film, everyone's going, Charles Bronson, can you believe it? If the surprise donor had been Elton John, they'd have gone, oh, we were a bit disappointed. So you all know the statue that's just outside here? And it's a brilliant, I love it, it's a brilliant statue with him holding up his belt, and it represents the spirit of Peel and all the people who gave a couple of quid. And I was very lucky to meet Luke, the nephew, who campaigned for the statue. And hello, mate.
Hi, Mark, all right?
If you meet Luke for 2 minutes, just the enthusiasm for the statue is brilliant, which is, well, it wouldn't have come about if it wasn't for you, I would have said, yeah?
No, I'm very proud of Newport, I'm very proud of my roots. It epitomises who we are and what we're about from Newport. And when the council told me that it categorically can't happen and you'll have to raise the money yourself, that's when the true Newport spirit came out. And I just like the fact that we've got a statue there now that we can all be proud of, but also there's a charity that's supporting the advancement of amateur sport, and it's about others now. And other people's stories, and we're promoting the likes of Craig Woodruff here, who came to us after being out the ring for 4 years, and now he's going to fight for the Lonsdale belt, something that hasn't been won by a Newport person in 40 years, and that was what it was about for me.
Just want to ask you a couple of things about Dave as well as the statue. So he was a heavyweight fighter, even though he wasn't by today's standards, he wouldn't be.
No, so he was a heavyweight boxer, but he was actually a cruiserweight in terms of weight. He travelled to Limoges for the European heavyweight title. He had a broken hand and he had to sleep on a park bench the night before the European heavyweight title.
When he fought with a broken hand, is that because he was trying to get revenge? You met Bronson, didn't you, in the jail?
Yeah, so I met Charlie. He wrote letters to me. I went in to meet him, and I just thought in my mind that we would go in and there would be a screen and they'd sort of sit us down and we would talk to him, very similar to sort of Hannibal Lecter. However, it didn't turn out that way. We went in, we were in a room. There was two prison officers who went straight to the back. They didn't want no part of it. And Charlie came over, he had cheese and onion crisps. He had cheese and pickle sandwiches. He was like, come on, tuck in. Right. I thought it was hilarious.
Thank you so much, Luke. It's been so inspiring. Thank you very much. Newport has also had this huge music scene. In 1990, the New York Times had a headline, Newport, the new Seattle. And the greatest product of Newport's music scene, rap crew, that is Goldie Looking Chain. For anyone who doesn't know Goldie Looking Chain, they started in the 90s, or maybe even the 80s, but I first heard about the 90s, with songs that reached into the heart and soul of the complex Newport psyche, such as Your Mother's Got a Penis, which I think we can all agree now was way ahead of its time. Brilliantly Newport. There are songs like Fresh Prince of Cumbrian, and every song comes with a video of them at a classic Newport site. And so Goldie Looking Chain, I'm very pleased to say, or at least some of Goldie Looking Chain are here.
Hello.
Is that Eggsy? All right, how are you?
I am.
So, first of all, Eggsy, so do people outside, because obviously you don't do shows only in Newport.
Sometimes they let us out occasionally. We did a show in Malmo in Sweden, and that was fantastic. Three people, one of them was from Cardiff. The other two girls wanted their money back, but we gave them a seat. They both sat in front of us. We did the entire show, and then we gave them their money back afterwards. It's quite nice. Best show ever.
Like, because you'd done Glastonbury, and it was really big. It was Guns Don't Kill People, rappers do. That got to number three.
There was number one, definitely number one. We're straight to number one. Big smash.
Straight Out of Newport was one.
Yes. Straight Out of Newport was the American version of Greatest Hits. So Greatest Hits was our first album. Clearly, they weren't the greatest hits. But to us, they were, because they were the songs we'd been recording before anyone took any notice of us. So, and it looks good in a record shop when you've got an album that says Greatest Hits on it.
Do Americans get the irony of it?
We toured America, and there were six Americans who got it.
That's twice the following you have in Malmo.
Not bad, eh?
Right, I'd like to give a huge round of applause for Goldie Looking Chain. I saw them about 3-4 days ago in the pub. My night at the gig was made perfect because when I left, this huge bloke ran up to me and he just grabbed me and I thought, oh my God, I turned around and he just went, they wouldn't let me in! They said I'm too aggressive! And right in my eyes went, do you think I'm too aggressive? Well, I don't know, mate, I can't tell. Wonderful, it was the most perfect end. And you also have an enormous place in British history, Newport, because this was where the last attempt at an uprising in Britain took place. Because in 1839, this was the centre of the Chartist movement that campaigned for the vote. And the Chartists were led by a man called John Frost, who was a tailor, who wrote radical songs. For example, there was his satirical verse about crime that he wrote that went, muskets don't kill people, rappers do. Swords and cannon don't kill and maim, it's hip-hop in Prussia must take the blame. About 5% of adults at the time could vote, who were the richest 5%, except the women, who were excluded altogether. So the Chartists wanted the vote so that they could elect people who would understand their lives and improve their conditions. John Frost was aware that the government wouldn't grant the vote without a fight, so he recruited 3,000 Chartists and armed them with pikes. And the authorities knew by now that the Chartists were attempting a rising, and the army made a base in the Westgate Hotel on Commercial Street. Now, normally, an army would defend itself in a castle,
But there's no point in doing that here, is it? And eventually the leaders were sentenced to death, but the government feared this could spark another uprising, so instead they were sent to Australia. But that isn't the end of the story of John Frost, because a huge mural was painted in the underpass that told the story of the rising. Yeah, woo indeed, yeah, because this was one of the features of the city. It was demolished to make way for the Friars Walk shopping centre. Michael Sheen took out a page in the Argus. The Archbishop of Canterbury complained. But in the end, it did have to be destroyed, because otherwise there would have been nowhere to put a shut-down empty Debenhams. The whole thing, because it happened before the modern trade unions or the modern working class movement. It was ahead of its time. And that is you, Newport. You're ahead of the time. On the edge of the city is Caelleon. This is the area the Romans lived in. There are baths there and an amphitheatre. Some people complain there are no facilities in Newport. You've got an amphitheatre. And lots of people have told me it's a part of your heritage when you're a youth in Newport to have a snog and a grope in the amphitheatre. What's wrong with a bus shelter like anyone else, you snob? It was brutal in Roman times. Don't forget, in there, the Romans would entertain themselves by throwing Christians to fight a pigeon in there. An old scroll was found from the time, which is believed to be a diary from the time. It says, I hold much love for Caelleon. Here, you see that girl in the red toga? She's been banned from the Presidium Centre. And there's such a radical tradition here. Lady Rhonda was a suffragette who fought for women to be allowed in the House of Lords. And there's a plaque just been put up by a postbox that says, I swear this is true, Lady Rhonda who set fire to a postbox near this house. That was nothing to do with the suffragette. She's just from Newport. I've got some matches, let's do it. There's another story that was so Newport about the RSPB rescuing a pigeon with an injured beak. And once they diagnosed it was broken, the pigeon said, if it's broken, I'm leaving. It means I have to go get revenge. See, it can seem so old-fashioned, but that's because you're always first with your bridges or your hip-hop up, your uprisings. You don't make any money out of this. Even your most famous poet was a tramp. You retain the soul of what all these issues are meant to be. Bristol may be wanting to move here, but they're getting rid of their statues of people they don't like, just as you're putting up statues of people you do like. You're ahead of them. But I will leave you, Newport, with one of Supertramp, the homeless poet's verses that is about his homeless life, and it's at the heart, I think, of the spirit of Newport. In Newport, if you have no money, you don't need to live like a monk. You can smell the wild plants while it's sunny and get off your trolley on skunk. If short of a meal, I don't mind. I walk down Stowe Hill with no worry. I lick any seagull I find and hope it has been in a curry. An Englishman's home is his castle, is what certain folk will insist. Well, I'm Welsh and my home's like our castle. The sodding thing doesn't exist. Thank you very much, Newport.
Mark Steele's In Town was written and performed by Mark Steele, with additional material from Pete Sinclair. It was produced in Newport by Cal.